This is Useless Conversations with Kimmy
and Jess.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a little lettuce stuck in my fixed retainers. Some things who either had adult orthodontia or orthodontia in the, I don't know, the mid to early 2000s have that fixed retainer. I know you feel me.
Yep.
Salad is not my friend with the fixed retainer. Which sucks because everyone's like, you need to be eating your greens, really. And I'm like, yeah. And then picking it out of my teeth. Constantly. And then you check yourself in the mirror and you're like, how long has that been there? And no one thought to tell me.
Yeah. I try to tell people, but quietly, you know, so it's not like everyone's staring.
Yeah, just like pull them to the side and be like, hey, so I just wanted to let you know that you have a bunch of shit in your teeth, like a ton of shit, just all up in the braces.
Exactly. No, it's funny you bring that up because I was just telling my mom today. Okay, I don't know if this is just me or if this is everyone that has one there. Mine's behind my top front teeth. And it happens a couple times a year where I think when I'm sleeping, I play with it with my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get a sore on my tongue.
Yeah.
And I told my mom, I have a sore on my tongue. I must have been playing with my retainer last night.
Yeah. I have one on the top end on the bottom because my teeth are like, if you don't reinforce us, bitch, we shifting. Because I thrust my tongue. That's why I had a big gap for years on my upper palate because I tongue thrust. So at nighttime, I literally have to wear, it's called Vivera, but it's essentially Invisalign on the top. So that my teeth will like stay in place. And I have to wear a night guard on the bottom because that's what 30s are like. That's a glimpse into your future, anyone under 35. Here we are.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome for this wonderful insight. Speaking of people who are young, can I please, okay, I know you can't believe this because it's unbelievable, but I'm about to complain.
Okay.
This is some shit, Jessica. Okay, just hear me out. Okay. Listen to me. Maybe some of our listeners will like feel for me because they understand the struggle. These children this year. So last year we had no trick-or-treaters. We also turned our light out because COVID, right?
Right.
And poor Ezra, he had to run around the doors of the top level of our house behind which Zeb and I would run and hide before he would get to the next room. Like we would take turns running and hiding and he would knock on each door and say trick or treat and we would hand him candy.
Right.
Right. It was sad because of COVID times.
Right.
Not this year. This year, everyone kind of was like, okay, things are going well. We can, you know, we'll go trick or treating. It's okay. These kids, first of all, I want to point this out. I have a ring, like the camera on my front door. I have a ring. For those who don't know, not like I'm telling you, you know I have a fucking ring.
Yeah.
You're always like staring in it like, bitch, come open the door. I'm here.
Yeah, I can't surprise you anymore.
No. Trickeration does not happen in this house, but they hardly knock.
Yeah.
So until the app on my phone tells me that the children are at the door, I don't even know that they're at the door. And you know the distance from my couch to the front door is quite a distance.
Yeah, right? I mean, mansions, I tell you.
Shut up, Jessica.
Okay, yeah, I keep going.
So I'm dressed as Little Red Riding Hood, and so I keep, like, taking my shoes off to walk on the carpet because I, like, don't want the carpet to get dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And then no one will knock and the app on my phone will go off, but they've been standing there for, I don't know, half a minute, maybe a minute. I don't know. And so then I slide my shoes back. At this point, I'm like you know, running Red Riding Hood because I'm like sliding into my shoes, sliding down the hallway, grabbing the bowl before they like walk off because they hardly knock. Then second of all, they just reach. I open the door. No trick or treat half the time. Mm. No trick or treat. Just that's another thing that pissed me off. No trick or treat. Just not even a hello, hi, trick or treat. That's what I'm supposed to say. Hardly even that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they reach into the bowl and just start taking candy.
Oh.
They don't open their bag or pillowcase or what have you. Not all of them. Some of them were well behaved.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about the ones that stuck out to me, and there were more than a few. There mm-hmm. were quite a few, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just reach in to the bowl and grab the candy that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had a very specific child say to me, "That candy is gross. Do you have any Reese's?" I was like, "Bitch, where's your mom?"
Her, it's Karen. She's standing further down your driveway where you couldn't see her.
Yeah, and you can't hear your kid being an asshole because you're too busy over there listening to Mom Bop.
Drinking wine in a concealed cup.
And when there was a trick-or-treat, like, honestly, Jessica, yeah, she's probably, first of all, yes, she's probably Halloween drunk on whatever fucking, like, you know, juice mixed with hard alcohol, like, you know, Thunder Punch that she made at home with her one girlfriend and her sister-in-law, you know?
Yeah.
Which is fine. Do you, boo. But, like, you're clearly your kid is picking up what you're putting down. When the trick-or-treat did happen, it was so loud and aggressive and just, like, totally rude. Like, trick-or-treat! Or it was just totally lackluster. Like, trick-or-treat. And then reach into the bowl, grab their candy. Your candy sucks. Where are the Reese's?
Oh, that's funny.
I'm like, these are all name brand chocolate bars. What are you talking about? My candy sucks. Get out of here. Your costume sucks. Where's your Karen mom? And then this is the last thing that really pissed me off. There were hardly any thank yous.
Yeah.
Now, there were obviously there were exceptions to this rule.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, so my son is out there and I'm thinking to myself, whose children are these? Because mm-hmm. I sent my son out. We did a whole run through before Zeb took him trick-or-treating.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so if somebody opens the door, what do you say? And he goes, hi. And I was like, kind of. Maybe a good intro. Cool.
Hi, no, I'm Ezra.
Yeah, here's my social security card, my date of birth.
He's been known to do these things.
His whole name, his full name, he gives out. His full name. But no, so I say, no, Ezra, you say trick or treat. And he goes, oh, yeah. And I say, and then you hold your bag and you wait patiently. And whatever they give you, you say. And he goes, gracias, because he's going to the bilingual school, right? And I'm like, let's stick with thank you for tonight. And he goes, okay, mom, okay, okay, okay. And so I looked at Zeb and I said, make sure this happens. And Zeb is like, yes, ma'am, I'm on it. That's what's going to happen. So they got home and I asked Zeb and I was like, tell me what happened, because this is what my night was like with these little heathens. Whose children are these? I have no idea. Karen's children, apparently. Like, yeah, you know, at the first few houses, I had to remind him to say thank you. But once he was in the groove, like, he behaved perfectly. He did it just like you're supposed to. And he waited and was patient and kind.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, he even added an unprompted happy Halloween after he got a you're welcome from the people handing out the candy.
Aww.
Yeah. I mean, listen, and I'm not. Whoever these asshole kids are at my door, they clearly weren't given this, like, you know, lead up instruction, this, mm-hmm. You know, impromptu, when you go to the door, what happens, whatever. Also, though, these children were at the end of their, most of the kids I got some really cute little ones that were just like fucking adorable and it was too much. Like, my ovaries might have exploded a little. I don't know. But the ones who were super rude were like at the end of elementary school, maybe going into like the middle school age. Mm-hmm. My kid is 5. Now, this isn't a flex on me as a parent, okay? But maybe a little, because clearly I've got Karen out here who's drunk off her jungle juice in my fucking driveway, maybe. And her kid's coming to the door reaching into my candy bowl. Where's the fucking Reese's?
Reese's in the mix.
I'm telling you, I was like, no Snickers for you, bitch. Get off my porch. I didn't say that. I wanted to. And then the same kid was like, you have a cool pumpkin. Because I sent you a picture. I carved a spider web onto a pumpkin. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, thanks, I carved it. And he was like, maybe I should come back later and take it. You'll be done with it, right? And I was like, no.
Wow.
Yeah. What? No. I'll come back later and take it. Go away. Go ride your huffy to the corner store and get a Twix because you suck. You don't deserve to be trick-or-treating on my block. You know? Oh,
man.
Yeah. If I had ever acted like that. Now, my mom, we didn't really get, like I've said before on the podcast, we didn't really get like physically punished or anything. Mm-hmm. But my mom put the fear of the good Lord in us to behave.
Yeah.
I mean, we were so well behaved that if I had ever done anything remotely close to that,
mm-hmm.
that would be the first day I got fucking hit. I'm telling you right now, she would have been like, I finally believe in corporal punishment and I'm going to whoop your ass. Over here, this candy sucks. Get the fuck in the car. No? Like, I would never have acted like that. Never. And if Ezra ever acted like that, I'm like, we're done. We're going home immediately. We're going home. Get in the car. We're going home.
Yeah.
Someone said, he said this cutest thing happened. They walked up to a door and there was like a bowl of candy sitting on a stool. Mm-hmm. And Zeb was like, go ahead, honey. Just take a couple pieces. And we'll go. And Ezra looked at the bowl and he looked at Zeb and he said, I think I should only take one so that there's more for the other kids.
Aww.
Right? So he only took one. And Zeb was like, you can take two or three. I think that's what they meant this for. Because Zeb said it was like, you know, the mixed candy with like the Tootsie Rolls or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like the child's play bundle. And Ezra was like, no, I have lots of candy. Look at my bag, daddy. He's 5.
Yeah.
Now, and just to be clear, everyone who listens to this podcast, I'm me. So this is not contributory to how this child is turning out. This is just who he is as a human.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of an asshole. So like, if I can churn out somebody who's like a decent human who only takes enough for themselves to make sure everyone else has some, and he's saying please and thank you and trick or treat and all the right shit, the whole script at the door, and he's only 5, then why is your 11-year-old coming to my door arguing about Reese's and trying to steal my fucking pumpkin? Now, I'm not saying your child is an asshole, but I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
That's just that's the real, you know?
Yeah. We had a really good experience, actually.
Yeah, did you guys get trick-or-treaters and stuff?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
Well, we live down a dirt road that's approximately about a mile to my house.
Right.
8 to get in. So on Halloween, we get 0 trick-or-treaters. However, last year, it was started by one family out here that they were going to bring their grandkids out, and they have several. And so they asked a couple friends to get some candy so they could trick-or-treat. So we did. And then another lady out here decided that she liked that so much that she put in a call to someone else out here, us full-timers that are out here, and just said, is there anybody that knows some kids that might come trick-or-treating? I'd like to buy candy and hand it out kind of thing. And so that person organized it with all of us that on Saturday night, we would do one for our park for people we know in here.
Aww.
And so we had, I don't know how many there were. I would probably guess like 20 or 25 trick-or-treaters. And what they did was they went around and put balloons on the houses that had candy. Yeah, and the kids knew exactly where to go. And what was really nice about it was that we all know each other out here.
Yeah.
And so everything was safe. So my dad made hot chocolate and was handing out hot chocolate along with one of the ladies out here made like homemade cookies to go with her candy.
Oh, that's sweet.
The kids made out like bandits. Here's what's funny. Last week, my dad goes, he always makes these little Ziploc bags, like the snack size of candies. Yeah. And he goes, I'm doing, 2 Twix, 2 Milky Ways, 2 Snickers, 2 Musketeers, and a Butterfinger.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, cool. And he's like, no, I'm telling you that because you're gonna help me.
Of course.
Then we made the bags.
You're like, I thought this was information. I didn't realize these were instructions.
There was no question, sir. So I helped him make all the bags, and then that way we just, you know, throw the Ziploc baggie and they get several, you know, a variety of several pieces of candy. So they got the little goodie bag and hot chocolate from us. Another house was giving away boxes of cookies.
Like, oh, geez.
Ahoy cookies. Like,
oh my gosh.
And then another house was giving away full-size candy bars, but they were allowed to pick 2.
Wow.
And so the kids had a blast. And so now they're talking about making it an annual thing.
Oh, I love that.
Doing it the Saturday before Halloween every year, just so that we can get trick-or-treaters. It's a safe environment. They can let the kids run around and it's, you know, no one's going to do anything out here. We all know each other.
Right.
So that was kind of fun.
I love that so much. Yeah. That is fun. Oh, that's sweet.
Because we haven't had trick-or-treaters in a while.
Yeah, I bet. That's and what...
Also in town, if we would have made hot chocolate, they wouldn't have been able to take it. The parents wouldn't let them, you know? And
right.
Funny, the kids were like, can we have hot chocolate? And they're like, yeah, go ahead. And they're like, are you sure? Like, they could tell. If, like, they, you know, stranger danger.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool.
I love that. That's so great. Yeah. On Saturday, Ezra's school did like a trunk or treat.
Yeah.
And so some of the parents volunteered to have trunks. We were not the parents who volunteered. Okay. At his school, you have to have a certain amount of volunteer hours.
Oh.
Or you have to pay for the volunteer hours that you can't work.
So like, how much do you pay? I'm just kidding.
Well. You're not wrong. We didn't know, like, we didn't know up top, like, what these, like, what the volunteering involved.
Uh-huh.
So we didn't realize it was stuff like, you know, decorate your trunk and bring some candy and you'll get, like, you know, 3 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
And I both work full time. It works well for people who have only one working parent, I think.
Yeah.
Or both of us working, it's like, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah. Or a variable schedule.
Yeah. You know, something like that. So I went to the front office and The person who works the front office, she's very kind, wonderful, she's knowledgeable. And I just looked at her and I was like, look, we would love to volunteer. We would if we could, but we can't. There's no way we can make it work, you know?
I got $400.
And yeah, she was like, what we can do is, so it's like $20 per hour that you don't volunteer, and our household has to do a certain amount of hours per year. And so she was like, we'll divide it by how many school months there are, and we can just roll it into like the tuition that we pay for him to go to the school. And so it just automatically comes out with the tuition. And it's only turned out to be like an extra, I don't know, certain amount a month, right? And so I looked at Zeb and I was like, I think we should take the deal. And he was like, well, no way. Like, what kind of volunteering do they want right now? And so I asked, you know, and the person at the front desk, I'm really trying hard not to use her name. She goes, well, right now you can help with fair parking, like for the Washington State Fair. Like it used to be called the Puyallup Fair, now it's the Washington State Fair. So I'm like G chatting with Zeb. We use Google Chats, it's called Hangouts. Use Google Chats. I'm G chatting with him at the same time I'm emailing with the front desk lady later that day. So I told her, you know, well, I think we're gonna take it, but I need to talk to Zeb. I go to work, I'm G chatting with Zeb, and Zeb just writes back, fuck that, take the deal. I'm not working fair parking. He didn't say fuck that. My husband actually doesn't swear that much, which is really weird because he's with me. But yeah, he was basically like, yeah, no thank you to that. Take the deal. We'll just like let him take the money. And even if we do end up volunteering like throughout the year, they could always use the extra money anyway. It's fine. Like just do it. And I was like, okay. And then immediately after the fair parking thing, you're like, if you do trunk or treating, you only have to come for like 2 hours, but we'll give you 5 volunteer hours. And I was like, are you playing with me right now? I didn't know this was an option. And then apparently there's like a gingerbread house making thing that they do on a weekend later, closer to Christmas. And if you do that, it's the same thing. Like you only have to be there for 2 hours, but you get like 5 or 6 hours. And I was like, if I would have known this was what was happening, I could just be like on the weekend doing trunk or treat or making gingerbread houses or whatever. I would have done that. But again, like Zeb said, we can still do those things and just give a little extra money to the school, which is fine.
So here's something that I have a problem with, and I really don't care, but I'm gonna tell you anyway. The whole idea about volunteering is that you're giving your time and you're doing it out of the kindness of your heart to just, I'm gonna go do this for this person or for this reason or for that cause. And so to say that you're required to volunteer, I feel like they have to change the name of it, especially if they're going to make you pay for it.
They call it like hours of obligation, but it just says like volunteering, and then at the bottom it says like in small typed print in like parentheses, hours of obligation.
Okay, an obligation. We can, oh, I can live with that.
Yeah, but also I think volunteering is the appropriate word at like a public school. But I think because my kid, and I'm not, this isn't a flex, this isn't a brag, but my kid goes to a private school. My kid goes to a private school because I found out that the class sizes at the public school are like 32 children, 31 kids to like one teacher. My kid has 13 other kids in his class. So he gets all of this individual attention. He already is speaking a lot of fluent Spanish in addition to English and French, which we learn at home. And so it's like, okay, I can deal with paying. And by the way, even with the volunteer hours, it's a little less, and after school care that they provide, it's a little less than what we were already paying at his pre-K Montessori. So like, if it were more than that, obviously we'd have to be making a change. And we are going to switch him to public school eventually, like once this COVID thing kind of blows over and stuff, so he can make friends in elementary that he'll then matriculate to like middle school, junior high, and then high school with, you know. This is the thing that we can think of to like keep his exposure down, but still like get him into a school where he can be social. So, you know, I don't know. When he goes to public school, I'm going to be like, okay, you need cookies for the classroom, I will run to Fred Meyer. That's no problem.
The cookies.
I like take them out of the package and put them on a platter. I made these. I baked them with my own hands. Like, it says Oreo on the cookie. Excuse me, ma'am. Don't question me.
So I gotta tell you something that I said to do to my mom, and I think I can tell you this because the person that this is about does not listen.
Oh, we got haters.
There's a certain someone out here who told my mom that she wanted M&M cookies, but she wanted frosting. This is a child too. Okay. But she had frosting on top of the M&M cookie. And my mother, being who she is like, okay, I'll make those for you. But we had trick-or-treaters coming. We had an adult costume party / potluck.
I thought that your costume was very funny.
Thanks. Yeah. And so, you know, between getting costumes done and potluck stuff done and trick-or-treater stuff done.
And the pumpkin contest. You had a pumpkin contest. Did you win?
No, I didn't. But
oh, dang it.
It's okay. But, you know, when you go through all that and then you have this special request that my mom's like, sure, I'll make you that.
of course she did.
I'm like, what are you doing to us? Like, we can't do that. And she's like, but I promised. And I was like, okay, this is the one time that I'm going to tell you this. And I think you should just pawn them off on your own. But we're going to go to Safeway and we're going to buy the M&M cookies that they have in their thing. And you can smear some frosting on it and tell her that you made her cookies, because we ain't got no time for that.
Yeah, ain't nobody got time for that.
Like, I'm a terrible person for telling my mom to do that.
No, you're not.
Make fresh cookies.
That's like that Sandra Lee on the Food Network. Semi-homemade. Semi-homemade. I took the frosting out the jar and I spread it on the cookies. That's semi-homemade to me.
I should put that on PNW Foodies.
You should.
Which,
that's funny.
Or all today, I rocked my hat all day today.
I know, you sent me a picture of yourself in your PNW Foodies hat, and you look good, girl, with the T at the end.
Oh, thanks.
I wore that all over Spokane today. What was that?
I wore that all over Spokane today. So, you know.
As you should. Rock it out.
People around here are going to find out.
I think people... he's got so many people in that group from other states. It really took off. One time we were messaging, I don't know, a couple months ago. And I was congratulating him on the success of it. Because, like, we got Storino Farms, which is a big farm over here. It's very close to my house in the Puyallup Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I know. He was like, you know, I just started this as a hobby. I, you know, was just interested in kind of getting something going, something that I'm interested in. You know, I know a lot of people are interested in it. My family's interested in it. So I just thought it would be fun to kind of just put it out there. And it has surprised even him. So congratulations, Tony Emery.
Yeah.
Good job. You get it, brother. You do it. But yeah, I rocked my P&W Foodies hat to Costco the other day.
Yeah.
And it was great because it covered my bad hair and I looked good in the hat.
Yeah, that's also why I was, I mean, thanks for, you know, throwing me under the bus, but
was it a bad hair day today, girl?
Yeah, I showered last night and I woke up and I was like, wow, what happened there? So I was like, today is kind of a hat day.
Yes. So on TikTok, they have this thing. It's like a bones day or a no bones day. So a bones day is where you have like stuff you have to do and things you have to accomplish. But a no bones day is where you're like lazy and you're going to lay in bed and do nothing. Right.
Right.
And I feel that way, but with hats, like I'm like, today my hair looks good. So it's a no hat day. Especially when your hair is short, because like when it's long, I could just like pull it back into a bun and be like, this is my version of trying.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's short, so I'm like, oh, today is a hat day. It is a hat day for sure. That is not good. Oh no. And no one's got time to fix that. I need a toque, I need a baseball cap, I need a trucker hat. Somebody help me, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, generally I can figure out a way to get away with it, but you know, I'm at that weird grow out stage of the bangs.
Yes.
And the bangs are all wavy and weird, and I was just like, no, it's going under a hat today. Yeah, so my bangs are at that like weird grow out stage where you can't do too much with them, and then they got all wavy overnight. And
yeah,
so I was like, yeah, it's a hat day today.
No, girl, preach. You're preaching to the choir. Well, I wanted to circle back to the pumpkin contest. For this pumpkin contest was hilarious to me. So I am surprised that you didn't walk away with like at least an honorary mention.
Yeah, they didn't say too much about it. I don't know if they
they're not funny enough to understand humor. Okay, that's where I'm at with it. So to preface all of this, it's definitely a visual thing, a pumpkin contest that I'm going to now provide to our audience via spoken word. So I have a feeling this is going to be gangbusters. But anyway, Jessica thought of a very funny thing where she was going to paint the word boo on her pumpkin in large letters. Mm-hmm. And then she was going to stencil around the boo a bunch of bees. Mm-hmm. Like that fly around and carry pollen from one flower to another and help us grow the flower population. Mm-hmm. So when you put those two words together, it's boobies. Now, the fact that you didn't even get an honorable mention is pissing me off. The fact that you didn't take the whole kit and caboodle is really got me a bit hot under the collar. Because that is so funny to me that you would think like boo, and then what if I just what bees? Like, everyone's talking about save the bees. How about save the boobies?
Yeah.
Like also, if you did a pink ribbon around it, it could have been a Susan G. Komen.
Oh, jeez. I didn't even think of that.
If you would have put two of them together, damn, it could have been a pair of boobies, and you could have put a like an old bra over the top or something. I don't know. But what I'm saying is the wordplay in and of itself is so punny.
Yeah.
That the fact that no one was like, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm a little angry. I'm a little hot on the
kind of made it match my costume too, so
yes. Yeah, because I lent you my bee costume.
Yeah. And then
Tutu my sister made when she was Batman 1 year.
Oh.
Yeah, she was Batman and she had like a Batman t-shirt and she made that little tutu and then gave it to me because she knew I had the bee costume.
Right.
And so then you were here right before Halloween and I was like, oh my gosh, take the bee costume.
Yeah. And then I may have made a nice, 90s wrapper chain that said boo on it.
Yeah, come on. Like, you've got a gigantic wrapper chain that says the word boo,
Yeah.
and you're dressed like a bee. Put this together, people. This is comedy in action. Nobody, just nobody. They can't comprehend. Wordplay is one of my favorite types of humor.
Yeah,
And it's understated and simple, but it's so comically good. Like,
I got a few pats on the back from a couple people, but
when we were at the craft store and you told me your idea, I was cackling in the aisle. And then we started looking all over that store for bee shit. We were up and down the aisles. Where's a net? Let's look for a hive. Let's get you a net. Let's do this. Let's do that. What if you caught the bees with the beekeeper? So what if you did this? What if you, we're coming up with all these ideas. Kitty's with us. She's spitballing. We're just going back and forth. How do we make this pumpkin?
Yeah.
It was so funny.
I think you've just kind of done something. I think I'm gonna redo it next year with the pumpkin, not the costume, because but with the pumpkin, because October is the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so I think I need to step up my game next year. I'm gonna make it bigger and better, and I know I can.
I mean, listen, bigger and better is the motto of most people who get them bigger and better.
Right. Yeah.
So if they
Challenge
can do it, you can do it.
accepted,
Exactly. Go, honey, go. Sorry, my kid is trying to bust in on the podcast.
Oh, that's okay.
I know he's pretty cute.
He is pretty cute.
So I'll just really quickly a wordplay joke. I can't take credit for this whatsoever. My dear friend's husband, I'm not going to say their names just because I don't know if they probably would prefer that I don't.
Okay.
They're fiercely private people. No, I'm just kidding. They're not, but I think that maybe, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Her husband, my friend, has this wonderfully thoughtful husband, and she hasn't been shopping in a while just because of like COVID, and she just finished her undergrad, so it's been hard for her to get out shopping. So recently he bought her like several new sweaters and things, he had them all folded and put by the front door of their apartment. So when she got home, they were kind of all just like laid out for her. And he put a little note, and the note was folded in half. And the front, no, I don't know who all these clothes belong to. And then she opened like the flap on it, because it's a note, but it's folded over kind of like a card, right? So it says, "I don't know who all these clothes belong to." She opens it and the inside said, "I guess they must have been raptured." It's so funny because it's one of those things, right? So like I remember asking in youth group, like, when we do get raptured, what happens to our clothes? Is it like the Hulk where we just end up somewhere naked because our clothes disappeared, or like what happens when we get raptured? Youth minister was like, I don't know how to answer that. It doesn't go over that in Revelation. So when she told me that, I laughed in my office for like a good 5 minutes, I think, just at the thought of him coming up with that. Like, I don't know who these clothes belong to. They must have been raptured. It was just too funny. I love wordplay like that, or like word association to a funny circumstance is very good for me.
Yeah.
Man, I love like even memes that do it. Like there's just this one and it's a blue background and it's a green pickle with like a cool face on. And he just says, "I don't know if you knew this, but I'm kind of a big dill."
Say something about being a cool cucumber.
That would be funny. Like I'm cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, that's my mind.
When I saw that, I was like, this is the song of my people. This is who I am. I'm in love with this meme of a pickle saying I'm kind of a big dill. Oh my God. It was so funny. I just think that puns are great stuff. They're good stuff. That's good stuff.
It's good.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's just
Just good. So, are we gonna head into a segment where you have something ready for me, right?
I have something ready.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I'm going introduce you to a new game. Now it's kind of similar to games we've played before. I needed to think of something to call it, and I happened to be in a movie today and it hit me. So we are going to call this game Now and Then. Now, it's not anything too terribly different than we've played. It's more of like your favorite things as opposed to my favorite things. But I'm gonna ask you like your favorite in certain things, and you can tell me maybe what it used to be at a younger age of any time. I don't have rules. But like, say when you were a teenager, maybe something that was your favorite as a teenager is not your favorite anymore and it's changed.
Oh my gosh, I love this idea.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay. So some of them might be things that we've talked about and, our loyal listeners will kind of know some of the answers maybe. Maybe not. Maybe you'll surprise us. Maybe it's changed within the last week. I don't know.
Oh.
So there's no time frame on it. It's just basically maybe something you used to like, no matter what age you were, you can decide. And maybe something you like now. And if it's the same thing, you can say that too. If it's always been the same one thing, that's fine too. Okay? So here's Now and Then. Okay. So your favorite movie.
Well, just to preface this, Now and Then is a very good movie.
It
If you were to ask 12-year-old me, it would have been Tulsa, Tokyo, and the middle of nowhere.
Oh, good choice. Good choice.
Thank you. And for those of you who don't know, that was basically documentary style movie that followed Hansen around the globe on their initial world tour. So if you didn't know, that's a thing you didn't need to know, but now you know. Also, they're from Tulsa, so. If you were to ask 18-year-old me, Napoleon Dynamite, without a fucking doubt.
Oh, okay.
I loved that movie.
Yeah.
Favorite character, oddly enough, a tie between Kip, Uncle Rico, and the woman that Uncle Rico is selling Tupperware to. We visited this. Tied at 18 for Donnie Darko, starring Jake Gyllenhaal. Interesting film. Good film. Loved it. And if you were to ask 20-something Kimmy Wes Anderson anything, I probably would say Royal Tenenbaums. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
It's an incredible movie. I love this movie. Like, it's so good. But my all-time favorite movie, I don't think this is going to surprise anybody, especially not you. Also, honorable mentions, just going to throw out Hocus Pocus, Mean Girls, because those are ones that I like live by on a day to day. I quote them often, frequently.
Yeah.
Favorite movie is not going to surprise anyone. It's Steel Magnolias.
Oh, yes.
Hands down. Like, I don't care what anyone thinks. First of all, Sally Field is a fucking legend. And
Yeah.
if you don't think that, I'm sorry that you live in sadness. Like, what am I supposed to do about your ignorance? Because I can't. Because I can't and I won't.
Yes.
Second of all, and more importantly, Dolly Parton is the motherfucking shit. She is an incredible, incredible human being. I would love someone to, I'll go fist to cuff anybody who says different.
They're still trying to fight people, you know?
I'm not trying, I'm really not. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm such a pacifist, but I guess apparently when I'm on the podcast, not so.
And also Olivia Dukakis.
Olivia Dukakis, holy shit, was she good in that movie? That Daryl Hannah, Roberts,
Julia Roberts, yeah.
Dylan McDermott.
Oh yeah. Good old Ouija.
Oh God, she's Terms of Endearment. What's her name? Shirley
Oh.
MacLaine.
Yes, thank you. I'm like, oh, I see her. I can't give it to you.
Yes, I
Yes.
know. Take a whack a Weezer. I love that movie. I love that movie. Other honorable mentions. I'm going with Little Women from the 90s. Winona Ryder, Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Winona Ryder was one of my favorite actresses in the 90s, and I also loved the movie How to Make an American Quilt. That movie is amazing. Jessica, what about you? What's your favorite movie?
I would have to say my all-time favorite is also Steel Magnolias. I do also love to quote anything. The young me would love anything Jim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber, Liar Liar.
I always think, whenever I think of Dumb and Dumber, I just think of this scene where he's talking about the business they want to open, and he's like, "We're gonna call it I Got Words." Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Every once in a while, somebody will say something, and I'll come back with, "We landed on
I always say things like, "Yeah, in your bra."
the
From Liar Liar.
moon." Yeah. Or if I'm joking around with somebody, so a lot of people don't get me when I do my
No, same.
but sometimes I'll grab something from somebody and be like, I'm taking this.
Yes, I do know. That's the thing.
Yeah, I love nice comedies from the 90s. I love rom-coms. And then Steel Magnolias, I will quote till the day I die. I think that's an amazing movie.
Oh, looks like two pigs fighting under a blanket.
If you can't say anything nice, come sit next to me.
Love that. I know. Oh my goodness. It's a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
I always remember someone at Red Lobster constantly would like lose her contact, and I'd be like, "Nobody
I lost my contact. I just said
lost my contact lens. Nobody move."
or sometimes my mom will tell me when we're shopping or whatever, she'll be like, oh, I told so and so we'd make beans, grab beans. And so I'll start putting them in the cart and then I'll be like, we're not feeding drum till the end of time.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so good.
Great.
Okay, so what's the next one?
Okay, so the next one, not shocking. You love to eat. I love to eat. We talk about food all the time. Mm-hmm. What about favorite dinner? Is there a favorite dinner you had when you were a kid versus now? Is it the same? What do you got?
My mom was an amazing cook, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom would pan sear steaks for us.
Mm-hmm.
And she would saute shrimp and mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd always get out of this, we would get a medium rare steak. Now, most of the time it was sirloin, but every once in a while, when the food stamp stretched just enough, Jenny and I got to split a New York strip.
Whoa.
Or like a ribeye if it was like, if we were going fancy town on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have the shrimp there that she sauteed in garlic butter and the mushrooms that she sauteed in garlic butter. And I remember always, and it was like maybe once, twice a year we'd get that, the mm-hmm. steak. You know, she'd do the shrimp and the mushrooms, but it would be with something else because we couldn't, like with meatloaf or something, like, you know, something that didn't really go. The shrimp itself would get sauteed sometimes if we had like crab legs, if there was like a crab leg sale. And mm-hmm. then the sauteed mushrooms would go on the side of like a meatloaf. Not saying that my mom would make shrimp and meatloaf, because that's not a thing that she would do. But I'm just saying those would be paired with other meals. But the steak itself, like getting the steak,
mm-hmm.
was like a big deal. And that was one of my favorite things, because she would pan sear it. She wouldn't just like throw a couple steaks in the oven and let it get to a certain temperature and then feed us rubber. Like, she was sitting there putting a nice crust on these steaks, and like you'd see her in the kitchen tilting the pan and she would be spooning the garlic butter up onto the steak and watching it sear over the hot heat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing to watch her cook. So probably that in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I also honorable mention to crab leg night. that was one of my favorite nights, crab leg night. Really, the crab is delicious, but it's also a delivery mechanism for the lemon butter that she would make us,
mm-hmm.
which was delicious. As I've gotten older, you know, you have to be more responsible with the things you eat when you're old, because you're like, I don't know, I'm gonna have a heart attack on my kid. So it's so hard to say, but another favorite dinner that my mom would always make that has carried over into adulthood beyond just like, you know, steak night is corned beef and cabbage. Mm-hmm. It's a very Irish meal. Our entire family enjoys this meal. Corned beef is something that most of us like. My husband does not like it. He's like, I don't know how you could eat that.
Yeah.
Which is weird. And again, if you weren't my husband, as with the soup conversation, I would question it.
We just had corned beef the other night and I almost took a picture and sent it to you. And I was like, no, it'll make her sad.
And that's the thing. So like the pot roast I made when you and Kitty were here, nobody ate that. I'd throw it away.
Aww.
The chicken and dumplings I made, I had to throw that away.
Yeah.
So like, I'm tired of making these meals where like, I love everything about the meal. There is like a savory potato involved. There's a delicious protein involved. We've got a side veggie or an incorporated veggie. And I'm getting crickets from these two.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I'm tired of putting forth all of this effort to make it happen. But that's why when you guys are over, I do make the pot roast, or I will get like a roast chicken, or I'll make a roast chicken, or I'll request that somebody makes me corned beef and cabbage for like my birthday, which is this week, and no one's here to make me corned beef and cabbage. I guess I have to call Kitty and just be like, "Hey, Kitty, will you take pity on me and make me corned beef for my birthday?"
Bet she would.
I know she would. I know she would in a heartbeat. No, I mean, I can get a corned beef and I can make it myself, but there's no one here to eat it with me. Like, these two fools wouldn't know something delicious if it hit them in the face. My mom also used to, and something that you make for me and is probably one of my favorite meals because everybody knows I love breakfast. My mom used to make it for me. You make it for me. Biscuits and gravy. And I want those sausage links right next to it. I want that gravy just right. I like it thick. Thick country gravy. That's my shit. Not too much pepper. I don't like it when it gets too peppery. You know, that's too much for me. I don't need all that pepper. I want it to be savory, just a little sweet, and over those delicious biscuits. And I'm talking Pillsbury. I'm not fucking around with store brand. Like, listen, I will, because I will. But I want those fluffy ass grands. That's what I'm trying. That's what I'm going for.
I really need to make you homemade biscuits when I'm over there.
Well, my mom used to make them homemade too. It's just like, and if you got the time, like, more power to you. I just don't have time. Like, if I'm making biscuits and gravy, first of all, I'm probably only making it for me.
Yeah, you're right.
So, like, what is even the point? Ezra, I'll make all the biscuits because Ezra wants that with jam, and then he'll eat one heated up the next day with more jam and butter. And I can get Zeb to eat the biscuits with butter. But I'm like, he's eating these biscuits with butter, Jessica. And I'm like, but you don't dunk them in any soup. And you won't let me cover them in gravy. So you're just out here eating a biscuit? Like, listen, I'm not against a biscuit, but put it with some fucking fried chicken and make it happen. Like, what are you doing? You just don't understand. That's another thing my mom made from home that I could. But I don't, we had a pot of literal fat and it sat on our stove. And my mom would fry chicken in it probably once a month. She would make homemade fried chicken for us right there on the spot. It would be so hot that we would burn our fingers because we were too anxious to just jump in and eat it. And I can't even go to Popeyes with these fools. Nobody wants to eat it. I'm like, just come with me to where the chicken is. And they're like, no. And I'm like, you're the worst. He's like, can we get chicken nuggets at McDonald's? And I'm like, no, we can go to where the real chicken is. That's fried. It's battered and fried, and it's battered in real batter, and it's fried, and it's real chicken. And Ezra's like, I like the nuggets from a McDonald's.
Yeah, I want the process stuff, please.
And I get it for him, but I'm just like, the whole time I'm like, you could have it so much better. Like, even Dairy Queen has chicken fingers that are better than what we're doing over here at McDonald's. And they serve it with, get this, country gravy. Don't know, Jess. So favorite dinner, probably corned beef and cabbage.
Okay, fair enough.
Probably that. Seconded to the steak situation of my mom, and then third, the third place, the second runner up is my mom's homemade fried chicken.
Okay. That is good.
Oh, so
Now, to stay on the same page with food,
good.
what about a favorite treat? Like something maybe you liked more when you were a kid, and then what you like now, or if it, and if it's the same, if you have many.
I know exactly what it is because it's something that my mom made, and I've tried to get recipes everywhere, And I have made it as an adult, and it just never turns out the same way as my mom's did. It is called a Ranger cookie. And the cookie itself has something in it that is like just a little bit crunchy, but the cookie is soft and it almost tastes like, I can't, there's nothing else to compare it to. It kind of tastes like a oatmeal cookie, but more brown sugary. And there's something in there with like a little crunch. I don't know, but it, and I've gotten recipes that say like, oh, it's corn flakes or it's like, you know, rolled oats or whatever. But, and I've tried making it. I just can't, it's never the same as how my mom used to make it. And so that's my favorite of all time.
Maybe we need to out in the PNW foodies group and see if anyone
That is a good idea
like
because if,
my mom used to make this. It's they're called Ranger cookies. Here's what they were like. Does anyone have any kind of recipe like this or know of something by this name?
yeah, that maybe we should because like they were so delicious. But the good thing is that the runner up, which is so that was my favorite thing that I can't seem to recreate. My runner up is something that you make for me every year, and it's my mom made it for me as a child, and you make it for me as an adult, and you use the same recipe, and it is her Buckeyes. Peanut butter chocolate Buckeyes. Those are my favorite thing. You make them just like mom used to make them. They're so delicious. And yeah, that's probably my fave.
I'm slightly bigger than she did.
I know, 'cause and there's more peanut butter, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and you know, the reason I do that is not to, because I wish I could make them the size she did. But here's the thing. I enjoy making candy for everyone every year at Christmas time. I have time to sit and roll like 300 of those little balls.
No. She would make Jenny and I do it, and if they were too big, she would pinch off the side and be like, roll it again. And she would get them so little, and they were delicious. But I always thought to myself, I wish these had more peanut butter and like less of the chocolate, because the peanut butter is the part that you want. It's like deliciously granulated peanut butter, sugary goodness coated in candy chocolate coating. It's looking delicious.
Well, so after you roll them, you have to dip them in chocolate, and your moms were very pretty. I loved your moms. Your mom made them amazing. But since I make my own now, I felt like I needed to put my own twist on them so that people know I'm not trying to make them like hers, you know?
Girl, you do you. If somebody has a problem with it, just be like, you can kiss my ass or eat my Buckeye.
Well, here's the thing. Mine look a little messy, and it's because, and I feel like if she would have known this, because I started doing this after she passed, and I felt like it was a great idea and she would be proud of me, but I have a small like cookie scooper or like an ice cream scooper, but it's like small. And that's what I do. I put it in the, you know, the peanut butter batter stuff, and I use that. I can make so many of those so quickly with the scooper, and I'm not gonna sit and make them all pretty and, you know, roll them in a
You
ball.
hand rolled them.
Yeah, forget that. They're coming out this scooper. They're going in the freezer, and then the chocolate's getting put on them.
I think you're smart. I think that's a perfectly smart way to do it. The thing that I always suggested to her was the melon baller, and she was like, Kimmy Kai, we are rolling these. Like, almost like insulted that I would even insinuate that we should use. Like, I would pull the melon baller out and be like, Mom, this is, we can make our light. And she'd be like, get that away from my Buckeyes. How dare you?
Well, maybe she wouldn't be impressed with me then.
No, I mean, I think now from above, she's like, yeah, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah,
What
I.
was I thinking all those times? That's what I think every time I go to scrub the floor on like my hands and knees, like, Kimmy, just use your spin mop or get a Swiffer out. Nobody cares that your floor is perfectly mopped. and it's just gonna get dirty again. Don't waste your time.
So to maybe round this out, I was thinking maybe you had a favorite, you know, like cousin.
You can't ask that. That's like asking if I have a favorite child, if I have more than one child. I have 42 first cousins.
Okay, I knew I wouldn't get far with that one.
But I mean, I only have one podcast.
That's true. That is and true.
There's only, I mean, to be fair, we've had guests, but there's only one other host.
Okay.
Cousin. How dare you?
I'll take
I'm
it.
I'm calling Kitty and Brianna right now on speakerphone.
Great.
Just kidding.
You love them more than me. I get it.
No, you don't love people more. You love them differently. Like I love my relationship with you for specific reasons, and I love my relationship with my other cousins for specific reasons.
Yeah.
I'm actually really close to quite a few of my Canadian cousins. My dad made sure something that happened, and it was important to him that we stay close. And so I've maintained those relationships, and I really love them. I love my American cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I only have one podcast, and it's with you. So,
okay. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay. Oh, great. So now I'm going to have to pick up what I put down at the next family reunion on either side and defend myself. Great. You're gonna call Corey as soon as we get off this and get Kimmy picked me. Care about that shit for, you know, the next decade.
Well, I don't know if you liked this game or not.
It was fun.
Something just a little bit different. I do have a bunch more of things to ask you, so if you'd like it, we can bring it back and do some more. I thought we'd just try it out and see.
Yeah.
What you think.
It's fun. It's hard though to like think of it on the spot, because like,
yeah,
there's so many things my mom made that were so delicious. She used to also make weird vegetables that other kids never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Stephanie, who was like, she was basically like an extension of our family. She was my best friend who lived down the street.
Mm-hmm.
But we were more like sisters than we were like friends. And we would eat dinner at each other's houses all the time. Mostly she would come over to our house and have supper with us. More than I would go to her house. I mean, not like she was over at our house every day eating supper. But I remember one time my mom made chard, which is very similar. Most people who've had it, they know it's very kind of similar to spinach.
Mm-hmm.
But the leaf itself has a red stem and it's a little more bitter. Yeah. And we would put butter on it, and we would put red wine vinegar on it.
Mm.
And then we would salt it. And I loved it. Jenny hated it. My mom was like, it's cool. She eats every other vegetable that we put in front of her. So like kind of like your mom did with you and lima beans, like she doesn't like it. She eats every other vegetable we put in front of her. Don't make her eat it.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was like that with Jenny and chard, because like Jenny would not eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, by the way, also call this chard. And I just want to make sure that I'm being inclusive to all of those. So chard or chard, whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie saw it and she was like, what is that even? And then I remember her turning to me and saying like, where does that even grow? Is that exotic? And I was like, I'm pretty sure just like the dirt and it's like lettuce.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And it was before like we all hailed kale. So like there was nothing like exactly leafy and comparable to the chard other than spinach. So I was like, it's like spinach kind of. And she tried it and she was like, that is bitter as fuck. That is not spinach. And even spinach was like not a kid's favorite thing.
Yeah. Well, I love spinach, but I was weird.
I love spinach too. I absolutely loved it. A little pat of butter on there.
Yeah.
Hit it with some salt. give it a little, a little stir around the bowl or, on your plate, mix that butter into it. Damn.
Yeah, I'd even eat it like canned spinach, which is not the greatest, and I
No.
it.
I remember my mom pulling out a brick of frozen spinach at the end of the month. It's like, again, when the stamps were running low. And she would put it in the steamer on the stove. And I mean, I would gobble it up. Jenny hated it. I loved it. I was like, look, this is a transportation device for the butter and salt. I'm in. So my coworker today, we were talking about how we both like different sauces for the food that we eat. Like, certain food has certain sauce or whatever. And I said, the same joke. I basically said, it's all just a transportation device. And she goes, yeah, everything I eat is just a vessel for the sauce I'm eating it with.
Right.
Was like, you are not wrong.
So true.
Hang on, this kid is screaming from the tub. I don't know where my husband went.
Well, I can let you go and we finish tomorrow.
Oh, he's having a fun time. My husband's right
Oh.
here. Little life event. I thought it was him screaming. It's just him having fun in the tub.
Well, I'm glad you
And
said.
who can tell the difference?
You gave me time just to like finish my lunch.
What'd you eat? What'd you have today for lunch?
I had macaroni and cheese.
Yum.
Yeah, I get the I think it's called Annie's. The old GF kind.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't quite taste the same as Kraft, so I threw a little handful of cheese in there.
Not bad, not a bad plan.
Yeah.
In Canada, the Kraft macaroni and cheese is extra delicious. I don't know why Kraft Dinner is better in Canada. I just know that it is. And for the longest time, I thought it was the same, and I realized it's even cheesier in Canada. A family member was trying to come back to the States, or trying to come to the States from Canada, and they attempted to jailbreak me some Kraft brand peanut butter, which is like my favorite brand of peanut butter, and we don't sell it here in the States.
Right.
And I'm just known for like absolutely loving this fucking peanut butter. And they got stopped at customs, and customs was like, we're gonna have to take that because technically it's a like a liquid.
Oh.
And she was like, it's butter, like
Like
it's
if you
not.
melt it, it's a liquid.
Yeah, but like right now, what we're working with is like a gelatinous matter, really.
So there goes pudding. You can't pudding.
Yeah, fuck. There goes my waistline. Am I right? JK, JK. So, yesterday was my birthday.
Yeah.
You posted about it to the group. Thanks
You're welcome.
for
Anytime.
that.
They have to know. They must know.
Yeah, I guess they need to know because Jessica said so.
Yeah.
And everyone knows Jessica's in charge, so
Yeah, I
you
pretend like
can.
I'm not.
Yeah, it's cute. It's real cute when you pretend like you're not. So I had a lot of fun with my boss, my coworkers, and I got home a little bit late, and I still had like a ton of homework to do. And you and I talked while I was on my way home, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I had a really good time, but I didn't get wild and crazy or anything, just kind of a chill night with the gals.
Right.
But definitely was sick to my stomach this morning, I think, because I mixed too many different types of alcohol.
Yeah.
I went to a new place I'd never been before, and it was actually Tony Emery and his sister Liz who got me really excited about it. It's called the Boom Boom Room.
Oh,
And
yeah.
Yeah, and it's really cool. It's kind of like this chic, like I don't even know how to explain it. It's kind of like a 1950s, 60s vibe in there. And they make like very specialty cocktail drinks. And that's what made my stomach hurt, I think, because I tried like three different like mixed cocktail drink, you know what I mean? So like one was gin based, one was and no, one was gin based and two were like whiskey based. Yeah, so it was like that was clearly a mistake on my part. And so my stomach, when I woke up this morning, Zeb was like, "What's going on? Like, you weren't drunk when you got home or when you like went to bed." And I was like, "You don't have to be drunk to have a hangover, Zeb. I didn't hydrate enough and I had three different types of alcohol." But since he's never had a drink in his life, he doesn't understand like the, I guess, the complexities of the alcohol consumption, how and the complexities of the hangover.
Yeah, so our little Halloween bash we had, we did a nice little final boat ride for the year. And it's cold out there on like the wind blows and that water's cold and then the cold air. So they had hot buttered rums going.
Ooh, yeah, I like a hot buttered rum.
Yeah, and then we got back and my parents were getting ready to hand out candy to the kids and my dad had made the hot chocolate while he was making peppermint patties. So I had that. Then my usual drink of choice is vodka. But then the neighbor does this, she calls it the tree of sharing. And she gets little bottles of alcohol, the airplane bottles, and ties them to the tree for holidays.
That's fun.
And then you go by and you pick up your shot, like it's a shot on her kind of thing.
Oh, that's sweet.
I know. But then, you know, then I had whiskey.
Right.
That's what was
You're
on
mixing all the
the
alcohols.
Yeah, and then later I think I had, so let's see, I had rum, I had a liqueur, I had vodka, I had whiskey. I think that's the inventory of what I had, and I was so terrified that I was going to wake up not feeling good that I was like, "Hey guys, let's go eat some more of that potluck." So I can get more food in my tummy.
Yeah, the
Then
food
I,
factor matters, dude.
yeah. And
Like
then
it
I pounded water and I woke up fine.
Yeah, I ended up pounding water throughout the night, so you're never gonna believe what Zeb treated me to for my birthday.
Oh, yeah, what?
So you know how we were talking last week about how the most comfortable mattress in the whole house is the guest bedroom mattress? He bought a king size mattress because I told him I
Shut
was,
up.
no, I'm dead serious, the same exact mattress.
Ooh.
Yeah, because we had the twin XL like adjustable beds because I have heartburn. But
Yeah.
I'm just like sick of not sleeping in like the same under the same covers, like in the same bed as my husband. Like I'm trying to snuggle up on him and give him my icicle toes. And having the split king for like the last 5 years, I have not been able to do so.
Yeah.
And so I told him like the base is fine. We don't have to move it like up and down, you know, I'll just prop myself up with some pillows. I don't even care at this point. I just want to like lay next to my man and be comfortable in my bed. And he was like, "Okay, what kind of mattress do you want?" And I was like, "The same one that's in the guest bedroom." It literally showed up on Wednesday and we unboxed it and laid it out and we were able to sleep on it that night. And it's hard to get adjusted to a new mattress, you know, so the last couple nights haven't been easy to sleep, but it's so comfortable, Jessica. I just like it's just the most amazing. It's like the perfect amount of soft and firm.
Yeah, it really is.
And it bounces back like no one's business. Like it just you would never know that someone had slept in it.
Yeah, it doesn't take your heat away from you. It doesn't make you hot. It doesn't feel like you're stuck in, you know, sometimes those mattresses, you feel like you're stuck in like a hump.
Right.
It's a nice mattress.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm hype about it. And it was way cheaper than trying to like you know, figure out like an adjustable or whatever. So I'm pumped about it.
What does Zeb say about it? Is he happy with the purchase or is he still acclimating?
I think he's still acclimating, but he seems happier about sleeping on that one than he was about sleeping on his last mattress. It's a little, it's more firm than his last mattress, and he's a tummy sleeper.
Oh.
So it's better for him, like his back and stuff. And it's better for me too, because when he was sleeping on his last mattress, he would inadvertently end up on his back a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And he's no lumberjack, but he saws logs, let me tell you. Holy work. Anyway, it's like just in there sawing away.
Yeah.
You know, it's the big wind up and the slow release.
Yeah.
And then in the night, I gotta give him like the elbow and be like, bro. Killing me smalls. Yeah, exactly. He wants to say that I snore, but like he took like a audio recording of me snoring one time, and it was like the little tiny like like it was, you would have just thought I was like a pig out of breath. It wasn't, you know, anything crazy. The prized hog at the county fair just did a lap, and now she needs to catch her breath. No one be worried.
So did you take an audio of him and show him the difference?
No, but I should have. I should have said, like, hey, hi, this is you. A pretty close to needing a sleep apnea machine if I've ever known it. And this is me. Like, let's really just temper expectations about who's creating the most noise.
Yeah, let's compare.
I guess accusations, really. But, yeah. Little, I wonder where my kid gets it. You did a snore, and you did a snore, and you did a snore. Man. Mm. So yeah, and then in addition to that, he got me a new faucet for my bathtub. So everyone who knows me closely knows that I adore taking a bath.
Mm-hmm.
You know this about me. Now yeah. I guess the 30 people who listen to our podcast know this about me.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had our last house, we had a really deep bathtub, but I feel like I never really used it because I was always on the move.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my favorite things to do is to just relax and lay in. And my bathtub now is also, it's not as big as that one was, but it's a very nice size bathtub. And so that's one of my favorite things to do is like lay down in the bathtub and take a bath. And Zebulon goes, okay, well, you can stop using that dog hose you Jimmy rigged up under the faucet because I got this for you. And he sent me a link for the brand new faucet he, you know, purchased for the tub. And he hired a plumber who's going to come out and put it in on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like so thankful and excited. Well, then this morning, you know, because I got home late this morning, they have me, he and Ezra sit me down and have me open my presents. And he got me like a specialty bath pillow.
Ooh.
A suction cup one that goes in the bathtub, but it can also like go through the washing machine or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. And then he also got me like a bath set, like a lavender one that's like, I told him if he got me anything like that, it had to be like super organic and like basically lavender or unscented after those bath bombs messed up my skin.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he got me this like lavender bath set. And then at the very bottom, I was like, what is this? Like at the bottom of the bag, he got me a wireless charger that my phone can sit on without me having to remove the pop socket.
Nice.
Isn't that so nice? Like, it's just so thoughtful of him.
So let me get this straight. You got a brand new king-size bed.
Mattress, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got a new faucet for the bath. You got a new bath pillow. You got a new bath set so that you smell nice.
And
you got a charger for your phone.
Yeah, that is correct. Ma'am, it's almost as if you have listened to me. Have you been listening to my conversations with you?
I try not to. Oh, no, that's very sweet. He spoiled you.
Yeah, he really did. My coworkers did too. They all bought me really nice things. I got a nice insulated tumbler. I got a very cute spiral notebook. I got this really pretty jade colored milk glass mug from my coworker Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got me a grapefruit scented candle that I'm really excited to try.
I love the smell of grapefruit.
I do too. I don't know what it is, but it's amazing. It just smells so good on a candle.
Yeah. Or it
smells like good.
Soaps. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have just done the Wikipedia roulette. Wikipedia roulette, for anyone who doesn't know, is when you open up Wikipedia and you hit random article until you find an article that looks fun enough to want to talk about. Now, this one is not fun. This one is about the statistics of hurricanes and their names that hit North Carolina between 1950 and 1979. Did you know, Jessica, that North Carolina had 79 tropical or subtropical cyclones collectively between 1950 and 1979?
No.
79, Jessica, over the course of 29 years. On October 15th, 1954, Hurricane Hazel moves ashore near the South Carolina-North Carolina border as a Category 4 hurricane, destroying 15,000 buildings and damaging 39,000 more. Damage is greatest in Brunswick County, where great coastal damage occurs due to the powerful storm tide, considered the most destructive hurricane to affect the state at the time. Hurricane Hazel injures 200 and kills 19 people.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? 1954, our mamas weren't even born yet.
No.
That's pretty bad. 59, Tropical Depression Cindy. She's just a depression. She's tropical, but she's depressed about it.
Girls just want to have fun.
Yeah, geez, Cindy. And that's it, everybody. Things that you didn't need to know from a bitch who read it to you from Wikipedia.
Very nice. Very nice. I applaud.
Thank you. I would like to thank the weather.
And Wikipedia.
And Wikipedia, obviously. And just so we're clear, you guys, like, I donate to Wikipedia. I think it's very important that we keep information accessible and that we have reliable sources. And Wikipedia is a great place where we can all go and gather information. I know a lot of people use it. Please give them $10. If all of us who listen to this gave them $10, that's $300. I think we could probably all figure it out. So please go donate to Wikipedia so they don't have to put pop-up ads on their pages and I can continue to play Wikipedia roulette with Jessica. How else are we going to get this done? I don't know what people want to hear. What do you want to hear, guys? Tell us what you want to hear.
We need to hear from our fans. It's been quiet out there.
Yeah. What's the crickets like?
There's a ton of crickets. Just, you know, while you're listening right now, just go and put a random something out there you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
Or a show you're interested in, or a movie or something.
Yeah. If you have a funny story that you would like us to read, slide into one of our DMs. I'm looking for funny stories. I'm looking for stories that have a beginning, a middle, and an end. I need there to be a clear line of this is how it started. This is how the shit went down. This is the climactic portion of the story. and this is how it resolved. Okay. But I need it to be funny. If you send me really sad stuff, it's going to be really difficult. You know what I'll do? If you send me really sad things, I'll read it in an accent. If you send me something funny, it gets read as is. Also, you have to clarify if you want your name mentioned, because otherwise we will mention you by name and that's on you. All right, well, listen, I got to see a man about a horse.
Okay.
Yeah, fun stuff. You've been listening to Useless Conversations with Kimmy.
And Jess.
What a day, what a life. 36. Here we go.
I don't even know what that's like.
Yeah, for another month. It's coming for you too, Jessica. Just you wait.
No.
All right, yeah. Yeah, it's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
Girl, you know what? New Year's Eve, baby.
No, thank you.
Literally, Jessica's a New Year's Eve baby. Like, there's secret to that. New Year's Eve, baby, or just New Year's Eve, baby.
Yeah. You're putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Emphasis on the wrong syllable all the time. All the time. All right.
Well, until next week.
Until next week, girl.
I love you.
I love you huge. Bye.